Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord, and meditates on his law day and night.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
He is like a tree planted near running water, that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable of all people. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground, with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes towards his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophet in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday Reader. We're going to be discussing the readings that we just heard. And Dawn has done a little bit of research and found some information that can put some cultural context onto the gospel. So, Dawn, why don't you tell us what you dug up?
Well, after lots of searching, just kidding. This one quote I read was talking about that the fact among some of Luke's contemporaries, there was this assumption that the poor and hungry were outside of God's blessing. And so Jesus comes in and he sort of corrects people's thinking. And so I got to thinking about how revolutionary that must have been at that time. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. I think that, I mean, definitely we want to say, almost now it's the exact opposite in our society, that Jesus has kind of come and he's completely changed the entire paradigm of the way we see the world. Because prior to the coming of Christ, the poor were viewed as being people who had been abandoned by God or somehow outside of his grace, as you said. But now it seems that the poor are the people whose society in general understands that there's a responsibility for us to take care of the poor. And largely that has to come out of the only way that you can make sense of that is understanding it in the context of Jesus and understanding it as these people are within God's grace and they are created by God and loved by God. And therefore we do have some kind of a responsibility towards the poor and the less fortunate in our society. I think the other thing, though, that just kind of brings up a nice dichotomy between understanding that there's really no one who's outside of God's grace. A lot of times, even in our world today, we see that certain groups of people, you could argue it's the Muslim population if you're an American, are seen as somehow being outside of God's grace or being somehow working against God. Or it could be any number of people. It could be, Osama bin Laden or any of the terrorists or anything like that. And while we certainly don't want to condone their actions, we still have to say they're not beyond God's love and his mercy, and that we do believe that they can come back to the Lord or come to the Lord. But also that we do believe that regardless of what they do, God still has a concern for them and a care for them. There's really nobody that God does not care for. And I would even include Satan in that category. I've once heard it said that the difference between Mary and Satan is that God loves both of them. And Mary is thrilled by that. But I can't even get things to end. We're going to have to edit this. But the difference between Mary and Satan is that God loves both of them. And Mary is thrilled by that fact, and Satan can't stand it. And I think, I mean, it just kind of reminds us that there's nobody who's beyond God's mercy. But at the same time, there is an obligation, I think, that we have to put our trust in the Lord. And that becomes clear in the book of the prophet Jeremiah from the first reading, where they say, you know, don't put your trust in the horse or in fleshly things or material things. And again, that kind of goes back to that point that you originally dug up, because the way that they viewed things is they put their trust in that God must have blessed these people because they had things and they had wealth, and must have cursed these other people because they had nothing.
Yeah, and it's also repeated in the psalm. They both talk about, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. He's like a tree planted beside the waters. And in Jeremiah, it goes on to talk about it doesn't fear the heat when it comes, the leaves stay green, all of that stuff. Now, it's not saying it's blessed because it has lots of things hanging from it, or it's, it has lots of money. And it's, they trust in the Lord and it grows and flourishes. And I think that for all of us, that's an important lesson. It's not about, you know, having the highest degree. And once you learn more, you'll really understand God, because actually, what happens, the more you learn about God, the more is revealed that you don't know about God, and it's just a constant evolution.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's one of those things, there's a saying, I think it came from the Council of Trent, that for everything that we can say about God, we always speak in analogies, and for every similarity, the difference is greater. Because God is so much beyond, like we could say God is love, but our concept, what we could possibly conceive of what it means to say God is love, is so different from the extent to which God really is love. So there's always that dissimilarity that's always greater. The other thing, though, I think that you hit on is when you were talking about it doesn't fear the heat when it comes. It doesn't say that the plant never experiences the heat.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I think that's an important thing. We've been talking a little bit here at the parish about the idea of hope, because we're planning a retreat talking about hope. And one of the things that we were talking about was hope not being that everything will be okay in the future. Because when everything in the future turns out not to be okay, then you say, then what happened? And your only response is to say, well, maybe God doesn't exist or God doesn't love me or something like that. But that's not what hope is. Hope is confidence in the promises of Jesus, in that in the ultimate end, that we will be with Jesus in paradise. And that's what the hope is that we hope for. It's not hope that tomorrow there'll be no more terrorism, or that you know, the stock market will go up, or that all my problems will disappear, my girlfriend will come back to me, any number of things. It's that hope in that in the end, everything Jesus said is true, and we will be removed from our condition of sin and death and live forever with God.
I read recently this analogy of in the Middle Ages, if you asked somebody to design a huge cathedral, it had to have everything. So from the huge altars to the ugly little gargoyles, the architect would probably fan it out to different subcontractors, and somebody would be stuck with designing a gargoyle. And so if all they looked at was this ugly little gargoyle that they were designing, it could be really depressing. But in the end, the whole thing is a beautiful image, and that's, or a beautiful structure, and that's what hope is like.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
I've not heard that before, but I really like that one. But it is true. It's, I mean, the one that I've heard that's similar is, if you ever watch those painting shows on television, on PBS or whatever, and they're sitting here and they're painting a picture, then all of a sudden they pour a color over it, and you're like, oh my goodness, you just messed up that whole painting. And a few minutes later they design it, and it turns out to be, you know, the sky with clouds, and it looks even nicer than it did before. But for a second there, you look at it and you say, what are they doing to this painting of theirs? They're ruining the whole painting. And that's kind of the similar thing, yeah, with the gargoyle there. But it is, it's a case where, you know, the Beatitudes, what it is when we look at the world around us, we can't always see it with the eyes of God. And so a lot of times, you know, we look and we say, oh, this person's had a real cursed life, or, you know, gee, how could this person live like that? They're full of sin, or that type of a thing. I don't like this person, or God must have cursed this person. But if we really take seriously the words of God, we understand that it might seem this way, but in the end, we're going to see things through the eyes of God. And those who appear to be completely cursed, we're going to learn, aren't really as cursed as we thought. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, those who appeared to be supremely blessed in this life might not be as blessed as we thought. So there's always that difference in the way that we see things and the way that God sees things.
Yes, that's an important thought to remember just in our daily life. It's sort of, these Beatitudes sort of are like a wake-up call to all of us to remember that the times that we're hungry and we're poor, those are some of our most blessed times. And just to be aware of that when we're going through that, and to remember the hope that we do have.
Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I think that they are blessed times is because they remind us that we're not self-sufficient. They're those times that remind us that we need something more than ourselves. We need to reach out to something beyond ourselves. And that, of course, is God. And so I hope that all of you will reach out to God at some point this week and ask him for whatever graces you need. And hopefully one of those graces will be to come back next week and join us on our podcast. Until then, have a good week, and God bless.